Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. What a special Sabbath it is, a double Sabbath. We're here on the holy day to observe the first day of unleavened bread, and it's just a delight and a blessing to be here. For those who like titles for this message, the title you can give it is, Are We Claiming the Fullness of Christ's Sacrifice? Again, that title is, Are We Claiming the Fullness of Christ's Sacrifice? So we've just observed Passover, moving forward through the holy day plan, being the first day of unleavened bread. When you think about it, Passover and unleavened bread, they're connected in a sense. You know, they're kind of joined together at the hip, tied together in many ways. They come one day after the other. Tied together, but they have a different focus. And that's what we're going to look at today. Tied together, but with a different focus. So I want to look at this through three different questions we'll ask and kind of walk through. And the first question would be, how are Passover and unleavened bread tied together? So we'll look at how they're tied together. The second being, that if they're tied together, how are they distinctly different in focus? Being tied together, how are they distinctly different in focus? And the third being, how do we take this understanding and move forward through the days of unleavened bread? So the first one, how are Passover and unleavened bread tied together? Well, a simple answer is they're tied together by the sacrifice of Christ. That is what ties Passover and unleavened bread together. It's the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. Also, in part, we partake of the unleavened bread during the Passover service, and we're also commanded for 7 days to eat unleavened bread. Another tying together. And as I mentioned, they come one day after another. In many references, Ezekiel, they're actually mentioned together. As a festival. So a lot of us may also think what ties it together is sin. The removal of our sins. But I'm going to ask you a question. Is that what it's about? Is that what it's only about? Let me preference it that way. Is that what this is only about? Is the removal of our sins? Is that what Passover and unleavened bread represent spiritually? Is that what this holy day season, starting off the holy day year, is representative of the removal of our sins or being our sins being dealt with? Or is there more that ties it together? Is there more that ties Passover and unleavened bread together? And that leads us into that second question. If they're tied together by the sacrifice of Christ, how are they distinctly different in focus? Being tied together, how are they distinctly different in focus? When we look at it, within Christ's sacrifice, there are two symbols. There's the blood and the body. What we take of on Passover is the wine and the bread. Symbols instituted by Christ. His blood was given for the remission of sins. And this is familiar to us. And we can reference that in Matthew 26:28. We're not going to turn there. But it says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins. Also in Hebrews 9:22, you can reference that. So when we drank of that wine, it was in remembrance of Christ's blood being given for the remission of our sins. So when we look at that, we understand that the blood covers our death sentence. That's specifically what that blood is covering. It is taking that death penalty that we owe, and that blood is erasing it, is covering it. That is the remission of our sins. That is that symbol. The blood alone does not give us eternal life. Think about that. The blood alone does not give us eternal life. Just as when we observe Passover, we don't only take of that blood for remission of sins. We also take of the bread. There are two symbols there, distinctly different. Being the first day of unleavened bread, obviously, I'd like to focus on the bread aspect. So let's go ahead and turn and read John 6, and we'll start in verse 48. Go over and turn over to John 6, and we'll start in verse 48. I'm reading out of the New King James today. So we read here, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Christ is really just focusing on one of the symbols here, isn't he? A lot of times we read the blood and the represented by the wine and his body represented by the bread tied together. And in fact, a little bit further on, if you want to read a couple verses down, Christ goes back to tying them together. For the fullness of life, you have to have both. But at this point, he's specifically looking at the bread and talking about the bread of life, and he's declaring that he is the bread of life. So when we eat of that bread, we're partaking of Christ's life. The blood was his death, and the wine represents our death being covered. Eating that bread represents us saying we are going to live like Christ. We are taking that bread of Christ, that life of Christ. The symbols are different. So if we want to turn over to 2 Peter 1 and read verses 2 through 4, go over there next. We start reading 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power was given to us all, things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we're supposed to be partakers of the divine nature of Christ. And that is what eating that bread represents. We take in the body of Christ, and we take in that divine nature of his. So Christ being the bread of life, he gave us the example of how to live. I mean, think about this. How to live in the spirit even though we're in the flesh. How do you do that? How do you live in the spirit when we're made of flesh? Well, if you want to know the answer, look at Christ. He lived in the spirit while being made in the flesh. That's our example. That's the life we follow. That is the bread we eat in. So when we struggle, when we question, you know, what do? Eat of Christ. How did Christ deal with things? How did Christ live in the spirit, even though he was in the flesh? Both are required, but both have different symbolism. Now let's look at the last question. How do we take this understanding and move forward through the days of unleavened bread? Christ is the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice. That means he covers everything. Not just our death, not just redeeming us, but he also covers giving us life and showing us how to live. It's the perfect sacrifice. He sacrificed his own will to do the will of the Father, even unto death, unto the cross. But not just at that time, he did it his whole life through, sacrificing his will for the will of the Father. He gave us an example of what we need to do, what we need to look to and follow. We need to sacrifice our will for the will of the Father. He lived in the Spirit, even though he was in the flesh, just like us. So we know the blood is for the remission of the sins. That takes us out of that penalty that we've earned. That penalty of death, we've earned it. And part of that complete sacrifice is that blood being shed, because blood has to be paid for remission of sins. So we earned that, and Christ was the sacrifice for that, but that's not all he was the sacrifice for. The body is how he lived. Christ sacrificed every day. That's how we need to live. That's what we need to partake of. We need to live like Christ lived. One symbol takes away the death. One symbol leads us into life. But together, both are needed. You can't come into life if you're in sin. You have to be removed from it. You have to have that covered through the blood before you can move forward in the body. They're both needed together, but they're distinctly different. Because without knowing Christ through taking in that bread, we default back to Romans 8:7, enmity towards God. You know, that's our carnal mind. Without the knowledge of God, without taking in Christ and that knowledge, our default mode is sin. Our default mode is enmity, is pride, is all the things that go away from God. And that leads to where? Death. Our default mode is death without Christ. So as we move forward through the feast into a new year, let's claim the fullness of Christ's sacrifice. Let's really claim the fullness of it. Not just looking at the remission of sin. That was necessary. That had to happen, and that happened through his blood. But when you think about it, his blood was spilled once. But as we enter into these days, the days of unleavened bread, we're partaking of unleavened bread every day. That's what we're commanded to do in Leviticus. Leviticus 23:6, if you want to note it. We're commanded to eat that bread, to be like Christ, to live that life. We're out of death now. The sins have been covered. Now let's look forward into life. How do we live now? Where do we go? There is no neutral ground. There is no, your sins are covered and you do nothing. That doesn't exist. Our default position will take us right back to sin. We have to accept the blood of Christ, and then we have to eat of his body and eat of that bread of life that he is and move forward. So let's focus on that. Let's let the blood be there. It take care of our sins. Our sins are covered by his blood. Let's turn our focus squarely and directly onto Christ through these 7 days ahead of us and take in that bread of life. Eat of Christ, doing as we are commanded in Leviticus 23:6. Eating every day the bread of life, taking in Christ. Because, after all, you are what you eat.